Good some part of the day, everybody. This is the Juke Joint episode number 10 with yours truly, Aaron New, and Jacob Whitmer on the other side of the microphone, and I guess the country as well. What's going on?
Not much is going on. You know, I had to kind of resign myself to realizing that I have way too many things happening all at the same time.
What's that?
Well, I had originally planned that I was going to do a sort of large sketch for an episode of The Gaming Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to involve about everybody I could think of. And it would have been a big collective mass gathering thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even with there being like about 6 weeks until the episode actually comes out, I'm realizing now there is no chance I will ever get the time to actually make that happen.
Oh, no.
Like, it's one of those things where I have so much homework to do with college and then also editing the other episodes of the show and recording this show.
Yeah, and are you doing your capstone this semester or is that in the summertime?
I'm also doing my capstone. It's like one of those things where it's like, man, I just don't have the time in my life to dedicate to it. I mean, last week I had a short story due. And I've been so stretched thin these past few weeks, I just didn't have the chance to really come up with anything that would have been considered, like, worthy of... something I want to be like, okay, I don't have the great idea to develop, and I don't have the time to really, like, curate it and make it as good as it can be.
So yeah, is it the short story fiction class?
Yeah, it's one of
those. I feel like trying to write, whenever I had that, I think it was short story fiction that I took, and it was trying to write on a deadline, trying to be creative on a deadline is just, I feel like, at least for me, it's next to impossible.
It's so hard. I had to eventually take the Hemingway approach, which, if you know what that means. So, it was one of those things where I was like, I've just been, like, really trying my best to stay above ground, you know? To quote Bilbo Baggins, I'm just being stretched too thin like butter on too much bread.
Well, before we kick off into this week's episode, I want to preface
it. Oh, that was not the kickoff?
Oh, I don't know. I would say before we got into the discussion and fun parts of it, besides our beautiful, fun, exciting lives, I want to say that, and I guess this is me recapping my week and stuff as well, which, by the way, I haven't done anything exciting, but this weekend, I'm going to haul myself down to Colorado to do some skiing and see some friends, I guess snowboarding instead, but try my hand at snowboarding for once and see how well I do with it, and see some friends and stuff out in the Colorado Rockies, so that'll be cool. But I wanted to mention that there will not be an episode next week.
So quick housekeeping thing. So as Aaron said, he's going to Colorado. So there will not be an episode next week for the show. However, join us in the first week of March where Aaron, myself, and my good friend Nick Prong will be discussing the Oscars.
Because be cool by to have
the
a
time
guest
we come back,
once.
they're gonna have happened.
Yeah.
So just be prepared for that. We got some ideas planned for the next few weeks, so I think you'll all really enjoy those.
Yeah.
But in order to do them successfully, Aaron needs a breather in the Rocky Mountain High.
I got my tax return back recently, and I'm just so stoked to have I went out and bought some winter, because I don't have any winter gear at all, just for in being outside in general if it's like super cold.
Yeah.
So I went and bought some gear and then kind of stocked up. So now I'm ready. Tread some gnarly pow to see how well I do with that.
Is that some lingo you picked up from Sean White?
I don't know. I picked it up from somewhere online. That one, and I'm just going to send it. I think I want to use those quite a bit, so I'm just going to send it.
Just going to send it.
Yeah.
Darling, send you send me honest, you do. Sam Cooke, classic track.
Ah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about, because I know this is, I know we're out, I saw this on the list, and I know we can go in order, but I want to talk about this thing the most, is that damn Aladdin trailer. Did you see it?
I saw it. I was trying my best not to see it, and then eventually, because I put it on the list of topics to talk about, I knew I had to eventually.
It was like, I mean, I expected it to be a Disney movie, you know? Like, it's got that vibe and
Wait,
stuff.
Wait, you expected it to be a Disney movie? It already was a Disney movie. Well, it's remake of a Disney movie. What the hell are you talking about?
Just like there's a vibe with just any Disney movie in general, just kind of like the aesthetic and that sort of thing. But something about this trailer was I know exactly what it was. It's among multiple things, the thing that caught me off guard the most was the CGI Will Smith genie.
So is there such a thing as Blueface? Because I don't he's bordering on Blueface. I'm not sure if that's a thing, but I just am saying.
I was super. I don't know. My concern is so much with the animation. I mean, it's so poorly rendered. Like,
let's speak on this. So, from what I saw, they filmed it like they were trying to do Lawrence of Arabia, or combined with like Prince of Persia.
I could see that now.
But like, and I will give credit where credit's due. Seeing Aladdin with actual like Arabic actors.
Mm-hmm.
That was fascinating for me.
And the scenery, like, I think the scenery and the colors are wonderful.
I think the setting looks nice. Now, mind you, that is me saying that with a very, very keen eye to know that most of that was CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And that this was a lot of blue and green screen work going on there.
Yeah.
But, because you can tell. You can tell when something's actually been shot in the desert and when that's in a visual effect. So,
mm-hmm.
But I will say, though, having all of the other characters be the actual ethnicity of the characters, and then Will Smith popping in like the Fresh Prince just, like, really accentuated how questioningly the casting choice is on that one.
Yeah.
Because I get it. The problem here is that, especially now, so I was never big into the Disney live-action remakes. This is no secret. I find their remaking of the Disney Renaissance films a bit more egregious than the ones from the Golden Age of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like the Cinderella one, okay, whatever. Like, Maleficent, alright, so you made Sleeping Beauty, like, wicked, the movie. But that's whatever. But then when you start getting into, like, the Disney Renaissance films and the movies that came out, like, only 25 years ago, like Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, then I start going, really?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a generational thing, because I know that, for example, my mother was far less upset with the Beauty and the Beast remake than she was with the Mary Poppins sequel.
Oh, I forgot about that entirely.
Like, that came out recently, and she came... I did not go see it because I had zero interest. She came home from seeing it and was really upset. And, and because she grew up with the movie. Same way I would have grown up with Lion King. So I'm wondering if it's generational, the outrage of people who are like, why do they keep remaking these Disney movies? But Aladdin had an uphill battle, and it's because in some cases, like, let me put it with this way, with the Lion King, right? The recasting of some characters, like, okay, Donald Glover replacing Matthew Broderick, all in all, I would actually say that's a step up.
Mm-hmm.
John Oliver replacing Rowan Atkinson as Zazu, two British comedians. Rowan Atkinson, you know, his game-changing era, I think, has passed.
I think it's a pretty lateral move.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
What I love is that James Earl Jones is not leaving. He's still Mufasa.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing, though. When James Earl Jones remains Mufasa... You know, that's the thing. If you look at the Lion King cast list changes, right? They kept on some of the original actors because they were just so good in those roles, you know?
Yeah.
Like here and there. Aladdin had an uphill battle to face because no matter what they do, they knew that they were going to have to replace Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously can't be brought back, but then it becomes... Well, now here is the nightmare that every single comedian of that generation had. How do you follow Robin Williams?
Yeah.
And I think Disney, in a sense, it makes some logic to go from the, you know, adrenaline rush of improv comedy that is Robin Williams into the suave, you know, cool hipness of Will Smith, you know. But...
Yeah.
It is a different kind of energy, and I feel like I've said this before somewhere, but it's a different kind of energy, and it could be for the better or for the worse, depending on what people think.
Yeah, well, that trailer was just a teaser too. So I'm hoping when they actually start putting out some more content that they
is Gilbert Gottfried still Iago?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
I really hope he is, because
I haven't seen the original Aladdin in so long. So the connects are just lost to me.
I just Gilbert Gottfried's so good at voicing birds. Between Iago and then the Aflac duck.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if they got rid of Gilbert Gottfried, I will be out of the count, man. I'll just be like, nope. Like, you replaced the one kid from Full House with an actual, like, Arabic actor. That's fine. But replacing Gilbert Gottfried, nah, man, you lost me. So, I don't know. It's frustrating to me. The Lion King one I'm more upset about, because it's like, that's barely even live action.
Is that one even out yet?
No, it's coming out in the summer. But it's like, I know I've definitely said this someplace else. How can you call it a live action remake when every character is a CGI animal?
Yeah, that's been
highly rendered, which actually will make it far more disturbing. I kind of get the impression.
The Uncanny Valley area, you know. I don't know. This might avoid that. What's concerning, and I hate to say it, is the fallback on Will Smith and Genie. It's just like something.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
I love Will Smith.
Is not on a high point right now. I really kind of get the feeling that he's not riding a wave right now.
It's something about casting him as that character, and then just the way they just, I think the presentation overall of that character in this trailer, it's just, I don't know. I'm skeptical of how the movie's going to play out with him in that role.
It seems to me like they're trying to really milk the Will Smith cool factor even after the well is starting to run dry. I mean, Will Smith lost a lot of goodwill with After Earth, and YouTube Rewind 2018 certainly didn't help either.
Ooh.
So it's like he's kind of now on the edge of becoming, of going from being the fresh prince to the fresh uncle. Hey kids, I'm still cool. It's like you're pushing it, Will. You better watch yourself. So.
So speaking of movies, and this one is kind of, it's like a new topic to me, but I'm guessing you'll know more about it than I will. Mm-hmm. But Yesterday's and the Beatles, is that a movie now? Like, what's the story behind this?
Okay, so about a year ago, Rolling Stone reported that Danny Boyle, who's the director of Slumdog Millionaire, and I think the first couple High School Musical productions. Interesting. He also directed the London Olympic opening ceremony.
Okay.
He was in the works with a project about a script where a musician gets in a moped accident and wakes up and finds that he is in a world where collectively the entire universe has forgotten who the Beatles are. And not even in a, oh, like, we don't know what these albums are. No, they've been wiped from existence. Like, but he's the only one on the planet who remembers their music. And then he uses it to then become famous. Now,
and is it set in a modern setting?
It is set in today, okay, in a world just like our own, which I take great offense to.
Well, I don't know if you were texting me or something, but the comment of how can you erase Beatles from history, then set it in a modern setting, but then, you know, that influence still
exists.
Here's
the thing, like, it's well known by now, I think, that I am a super fan of the Beatles.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be as objective about this as possible, because I know that there are people who don't love the Beatles as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to be as objective as possible when I say this. If we are going to say that the premise of this movie hinges upon the idea that this is an alternate universe where the Beatles phenomenon never happened, they never got famous, no one ever heard their music, well, okay, then what are the repercussions of that?
Mm-hmm.
We certainly don't have the Rolling Stones, because mm-hmm. they are a covers band and they never had the impetus to write their own original songs. Bob Dylan probably never goes electric, because he has no impetus to go electric. We mm-hmm. don't get Pet Sounds from the Beach Boys, because Brian Wilson hasn't heard Rubber Soul, so he doesn't feel the competition to make Pet Sounds. We don't get rock operas like The Who's Tommy or even concept albums like a lot of Pink Floyd's great stuff, because Sgt. Pepper hasn't been made to set the groundwork for it. We don't get a lot of the new wave acts like The Clash and The Police. We definitely don't get Nirvana. We definitely don't get Oasis. Then
do you suggest to me
and like all the other things, like we like in that scenario, how can the music scene that exists in this movie be exactly the same without the Beatles?
Yeah, because I mean, you could argue that like even if the Beatles didn't exist,
even in a cultural sense, like every guy in the movie should have either flat tops or cropped hair. Because, like, long hair has not been made acceptable in the mainstream.
Do you think, you think in this world, if the Beatles didn't exist, there would be other bands to fill that void? But then again, I guess if everything's the same, it's kind of hard to...
Here's the thing. I don't think it would be other bands who fill that void. I think it would be literally the industry would have to be different. It would be completely different. And I can't imagine what it would be. But everything that we have come to expect over the past 50 years of music would have been either wildly different or wouldn't have happened at all.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, I can't conceive of what it would be, because the literal groundwork inspiration for about 90% of everything that came afterwards isn't there.
Yeah.
And so it offends me, the concept that, well, this guy is going to then live in exactly the same world as us, but some giant cultural phenomenon, which undoubtedly shaped the history of pop culture and society as we know it,
yeah,
is not there. Like, Anthony Fantano of the Needle Drop made a video on this, and he made a very, very good point as well. He said, imagine if there was a movie where the car had never been invented, and this guy wakes up and he's the only person who knows what a car is, and he designs it and he makes it and becomes famous. But the world still has traffic lights and stop signs all over the place. And everything is exactly the same as it would be, except people are just on horseback and not in a car. Okay, so I mean, mine's showing up on my waveform is showing up, but it's like really small. Is it like that scenario happening? Because I'm at about like negative 12 decibels. All right, so we'll just keep this train moving and hopefully all of that will get cut and we'll figure out what's going on. All right, so where was I talking about before? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, is that to me, it's not only just the Beatles were a musical phenomenon, which they totally were, too. And it's not, and I can't even chalk it up to just I'm a fan of their music and I think that they're the best band ever, even though that is also true. Mm-hmm. It is straight up, as a cultural historian, you cannot deny that the Beatles were they had a humongous effect on pop culture across the world.
Yeah.
And whether or not you like their music is actually secondary in that scenario, because they are more so than anyone else a cultural phenomenon that changed and set the course of history forever. You cannot possibly live in a world where they don't exist and it's the same exact world as ours.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense, you know? And that is what I feel is the main problem with the premise of this movie.
Do you think it's going to be a good movie, or is this going to be kind of just a film that exists?
I think it's going to be a film. I'm placing my bets right now. Here is Jacob Whitmer's movie prediction hot take bets. Place your wagers now, and if I'm wrong, then I'll pay up, but if I'm right, then you must pay me. Here's my bet. It is a dream.
You think so?
It's a dream.
I feel like idea is so played out that people wouldn't dare do it now.
I think that this movie will. If you see the trailer for it, it screams, this is a dream.
I'll have to watch it. I know nothing about it and I haven't seen it, so I'll have to take a look and see.
I'll tell you what I was glad about, okay? So essentially, when Rolling Stone first reported on it back in mid-2018, they said, oh, they knew enough that that was the premise of the movie and that it was going to star Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it seem like the movie was Ed Sheeran being the only person on Earth who remembered the Beatles and then becoming successful with their music, which I thought was a giant hand job to Ed Sheeran. I thought, man, what a self-congratulatory, bloated concept of a movie that is. It's not that. He's in the movie, but he's not the star. The star is this Indian-British actor who's an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And he like gets in a moped accident. He wakes up in the hospital. His front teeth are gone. And then he plays Yesterday on an acoustic guitar. And they're like, when did you write that? And he's like, oh, I didn't write it. Paul McCartney wrote it. He's like, they're like, who? And he's like, Paul McCartney. It's Yesterday. It's one of the greatest songs of all time. And this one person goes, well, I mean, it's good, but it's not, you know, Coldplay. And it's like, dude, Coldplay wouldn't exist. Coldplay is not a thing because the Beatles aren't there to inspire Radiohead, who thus inspires Coldplay.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't, this is literally not a thing. Like, you cannot compare the two because the giant impetus for a whole, for whole musical movements did not happen. So it's like, that's my problem with it. But it's straight up like, it is going to be a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm placing my money now. The movie is a dream. He got in a moped accident, and then he wakes up from, and he has this dream where he gets famous because no one remembers the Beatles' music, and it becomes that cliche, oh, you're famous, but now I don't see you anymore. You used to be my friend, and I used to love you when you weren't famous, and now you're so distant, and I don't... can relate, because that's exactly what the trailer is.
Is he going to wake up in a bed at home with Paul McCartney at his bedside?
He's going to wake up. There's some theories floating around. Okay, so James, there's a scene in the trailer
yeah.
where he's on James Corden.
Mm-hmm.
And James Corden goes, well, we've got a surprise here. We've got two people backstage who say that that the music is theirs. And then it like shows these two like set pairs of feet, and one of them is barefoot. And it's like, no. For one thing, if McCartney and Ringo actually appear, then I know for certain that they no longer have any standard in what they show up in.
I think it'd be really funny if they showed up as like slums.
If they show up in it, I will be stunned, but I will also be... But here's a question too. People on Twitter were asking this, and I totally agree with it. There's also a realistic level in which then questions get raised. So let me ask you this. If in this world the Beatles never got famous, does that mean John Lennon is still alive? Did he ever meet Yoko Ono? Did he ever move to New York? Was he shot still?
I guess George Harrison could potentially still be dead since he died from cancer.
I mean,
but like,
he had cancer, yeah. But is John Lennon still alive? Maybe. Like, that was literally people questioning that on Twitter. And like, so there becomes, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things like, okay, cliche idea of like this musician becomes famous and then loses, you know, his connection with people. But the minute you rope in like this idea of it's an alternate universe where the Beatles never happened,
mm-hmm.
the minute you start thinking about the premise for more than 2 seconds, it starts falling apart really quickly. And you just fall into a rabbit hole of, well, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Could this exist? What does this mean? Like, it really starts to collapse in on itself.
Yeah.
So I'm not particularly expecting great things. I think at best it'll be... Well, here's the truth. I doubt I'm going to see it. If it turns out McCartney and Starr actually did reunite, if the remaining Beatles actually did reunite to show up in this self-congratulatory movie, it may warrant a Netflix viewing or a rental.
But not worth going to the theater.
I cannot give it. I'm not going to the movie theater to see this cliche movie premise, which falls apart on itself the minute you start to think about it. Like, I can't. It's like, I'm going to go into it and dislike mm-hmm. it. So there's no reason for me to spend my money on
when does it drop, do you know?
I think it's June 19th.
June 19th, okay.
I could be wrong about that.
I think it'll be, of course, I haven't seen the trailer yet, but if it's decent enough, I might get one of my discount movie tickets
and go.
I'll
send you the trailer, and then you can message me back what you think.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I want
to
check it out.
It looks to me like it's going to be a dream. I'm placing my bets now. He wakes up, and it's, oh, I remember the value of my friends and my family, and I don't have to be a rich, famous musician because I have all the love I need. That's what it's going to be.
And then it ends with all you need is love.
Placing my money now.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, that's what it's going to be. So anyway, you hear the new Cardi B single?
I saw you wrote it down, like Cardi B and Bruno Mars. I thought, like, I mean, I knew they had a single like last year, the year before, but is there a new one?
There's a new one, came out a few days ago.
Ooh, what's it about? Or what's the song called?
It is called Please Me.
Okay.
It is a rather filthy trap slow jam. It's okay.
Okay.
it's about like 3 stars for me, mm-hmm. like 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely more Cardi B's single than Bruno Mars's. Mm-hmm. And I've never really been a fan of Cardi B, so I mean, we're not starting off great there, but like, I don't know, she was okay. Bruno Mars really tries to sell it on those choruses, but he's definitely not the star here.
Do the hooks kind of sell it, or is it more, I mean?
It's not really a hooky song, I feel.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely more, the hook would be Cardi's verses, mm-hmm. but, it's
all
right.
I feel like all these things we mentioned, it's like, I have no idea. I haven't seen anything. So I'm just like, what?
You, I know, man. You get on it. I try to research before I get into
this show. I keep myself multitasking so much. I don't put enough time into researching these topics. But, hey, that's all right. I'm going to try to brush up on the Oscar stuff at least for next, or not next week, the week after.
You have 2 weeks. I'm going to try to watch, well, whatever films I haven't seen. I mean, let's briefly talk about, because the next episode is going to be Oscar-centric.
Yeah, and we got a guest, which is rad. I'm excited for that.
I know, it'll be fun. But I think I'm going to be seeing the Oscars with this guy, too, so we can talk about Oscar night. Mm-hmm. But so let me ask you this, as we go into the Oscars. We've now officially confirmed no host.
Yeah.
They're going hostless, which might actually be to their benefit. I'm going to lay down a controversial opinion here. I really don't think Kevin Hart is that funny. And I can get why people are upset within the comedy world. I can also get why people are upset outside the comedy world. Mm-hmm. quite frankly, I think cutting the host could be for the better.
Yeah, well,
because then we just focus on the awards.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was thinking too.
I mean, really think about it. Like, the comedy bits from the past few years, not that impressive.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them have been very, like, self-congratulatory about how, oh, look how rich and famous we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ellen DeGeneres taking a selfie with Kevin Spacey, so that's been ruined forever. And then Jimmy Kimmel, like, bringing all those, like, tourists in there, and they're all like, oh, we're surrounded by the rich, famous elite. And it's like, okay, this is not really like comedic. So, I don't know. That could be good. Bit more of a controversial opinion. The Oscars were planning on cutting 4 awards from the telecast.
Oh, I heard about this, yeah.
Which included editing and cinematography.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people. I mean, when I discovered that too, I got kind of upset. Because how could you, why would you not talk about like the kind of the bread and butter of the film?
Yeah, here's the thing. Every other, like, quite frankly, I'm just saying this. A lot of the other categories could be cut,
mm-hmm.
because they are not exclusive to film. Cutting the, like, awards for the people who actually make the whole process of movie making possible, mm-hmm. just because you don't think they're popular enough, that's insulting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, everyone has commented on this. This Oscars, more so than ever, going into it, feels like it's very hypersensitive about the TV ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would be, like, their ratings have been on a decline. But it seems like more so than ever, they're really trying to cater to what they think is the popular taste.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going to include Best Popular Film as a new category.
Yeah.
Until that also got lambasted for being an awful idea.
You know, like, why? I mean, it's already a collection of the popular films anyways. I mean, why?
No, it's not. I mean, here's the thing. The popular films, that's what the People's Choice Awards are for. You want popularity, you go to the People's Choice Awards. The idea of having an academy of whoever, it's supposed to be like setting a standard of here's what is considered art and what is considered austerity, mm-hmm. in the film industry, right? Now, mind you, I don't think the Academies are great either, because I think a lot of their selections, just like the Grammys, are selected by a mysterious committee of old white dudes, normally executives, who are just selecting these films because they have some cliche element that seems prestigious. That's why you hear about so many movies which are Oscar bait.
Yeah.
The ones that are self-consciously like, ooh, look how impressive we are. Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to bait the Academy. And often they do. But, I don't know. It just seems like this year they're really hypersensitive toward the concept of the television ratings.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure they are every year, but I guess it's more apparent this year with all the controversy, you know?
Yeah, so they've been really stumbling through it as they try to maintain their relevancy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll talk more about it afterwards, but it is something that is fascinating as we go into this new round of film awards. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, I haven't confirmed this yet, but I'm probably going to be going to a viewing party with our guest for the next show.
Oh, cool.
But, so we'll probably give you our recap of how the evening went and what we thought of the award.
Yeah, because I'll be on a plane at that point, so I'll miss it entirely.
Nah.
So, oh well.
Well, what else is left in our topics?
So you wanted to mention the Grammys real quick, and I'm just completely disconnected from the Grammys since the awards happened.
Yes, the Grammy Awards happened like either 2 weeks ago or last week.
Let me. The one thing that I know happened that I want to, the only thing I feel worthy of commenting on is, and it's something I expected to happen. I really didn't want it to happen, but it did, and that's Greta Van Fleet winning Best Rock Record.
I told you they would.
I know.
I swear to God, if we actually pull up the episode where we talked about who we thought was going to win, I'm pretty sure I told you that Greta Van Fleet was going to win.
Yeah.
And they did. Like,
it's just...
Because I said to you, I was like, they're going to win because they sound self-consciously so much like Led Zeppelin
mm-hmm.
that the Grammys are going to go, it reminds us of Led Zeppelin, so that wins.
That'll give us credit.
And it did.
I've got my problems with that band that I've told people multiple times. I don't want to go into it again.
I mean, it is straight up. The Grammys always choose. They never actually choose the forward-thinking record. It is always whatever it seems like it can appeal to whoever these old farts are at the Grammy Awards, who it reminds them of being young.
Well, it's not even that they went for the forward-thinking record. It's or even the rock. I'm trying to look this up at the same time to see who was nominated. But they didn't even go for like the most popular nominees. You know, they went for the nostalgic one. I don't know.
I warned you. I tried to warn you.
It's not what
I said. They're gonna win it.
It's just.
And you were like, nah, it's gonna be someone else.
What's like? I won't deny that band can play riffs.
Yeah, because they're ripping off Jimmy Page.
But they're up. Okay, so I got the list here. So they're up against, like, to me, if you want to go forward thinking record, I think Ghost would have had that one. But then,
yeah, they like, I mean, of all, for one thing, I was not overly impressed with any of the selections. But like,
but I was really gunning for
Ghost would have been
what's that
the best.
Yeah, but I was gunning for. I think if in my mind it would have been Fall Out Boy for the, you know, the popular band to win the album. You know, I mean, to win the award. That makes the most sense to me. In terms of how I've seen them operate in the past, but to hand it to Greta Van Fleet, it's just, I don't know. It's not just that it feels cheated, but I don't know. Many things in my head that I could talk about, but it's just that band just gets on my nerve.
Record of the year was This Is America.
Okay, I can agree with that.
It was going up against God's Plan by Drake and All the Stars by Kendrick and Rockstar by Post Malone.
Yeah, well, I could see Rockstar potentially having it because that was a pretty big breakout song. But This Is America, I think, had the biggest impact, at least from what I've seen. So
I think it had the maybe biggest, but also the most short-lived impact.
That's true.
It came and went like really fast.
Yeah,
like it was top of the charts like maybe 1 week and then was like gone in a month.
But I think bits of it existed in pop culture throughout, you know, the time afterwards, throughout, you know, different memes and just kind of popping up here and there randomly. So
Album of the year, we got Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour.
That's a good record. That deserves it.
I did not like
it. You didn't?
No, what did I write in my review when I heard it? It was something really... I think I called it the Taylor album for people who miss old Taylor. Which I think it is. Like, it just, yeah, what was... Yeah, it was my... Of the records I heard last year, it was my second least favorite. Mm-hmm. My first least favorite being Cardi B.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This is the one. Yeah, here's my one sentence review, or my two sentence review that I wrote after listening to the album. I wrote, "For everyone who misses old Taylor, I never liked either one personally." So that was me. I don't know. Which I mean, like that itself. I mean, of course that won, mm-hmm. because old Taylor won all the Grammys too. So it's like when Taylor Swift like completely obliterates her career by releasing a really awful album. Mm-hmm. Where are we gonna go for our old Taylor fix? Well, Kacey Musgraves is here to fill that void. So, I didn't surprise me. I would have voted for, personally. I mean, I would have been maybe fine if Cardi B won because that was like the record that got the most praise at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Even though I hated it, but.
As opposed to Post Malone?
I didn't hear Post Malone.
So. I figured that record got way more press, but maybe I could be wrong.
I think Post Malone gets more press. I don't know if the album got press.
No, maybe.
I would have put my money, quite frankly, on either... If I was voting, I would have put it either on Drake or on Janelle Monáe.
Uh-huh.
I think those would have probably been worthier choices, mm-hmm. myself. But that is me. But Golden Hour was like, okay, that's expected.
Yeah.
Because it was. It's very much... When I listen to that album, I'm like, this is someone who is like, well, Taylor Swift is now... It's trying to be Britney, so who's going to fill that hole?
Yeah.
You know, that Taylor-sized hole in our hearts, and it's going to be Kacey Musgraves. And I guess now, by winning her Grammy, she is fulfilling that promise. So... Them's that. So I just felt, I don't know, that was like my brief little recap of So the Grammys happened and what our thoughts. I guess you're very upset at the Greta Van Fleet thing.
Yeah, I mean...
That was completely predictable
to me. Yeah, I had my eyes on the rock category. Usually every year that's the only thing I really pay attention to, and it's, I don't know. I part of me knew it was going to happen, but I didn't want it to.
The Grammys have famously... been wrong most of the time.
Well, the thing that's frustrating me about I think the most upsetting thing is something about that way the band presents themselves. It's not the music that bothers me because it's to me it's just
because I like Led Zeppelin too.
Yeah, I like Zeppelin. I mean, and it sounds like Zeppelin. There's no denying
it
that.
Like Zeppelin.
It's a rock.
Even Robert Plant says it sounds like Zeppelin.
I know it's which is hilarious. But I listen to it. It's like, okay, this is like a rock band. You know, it's just put on the background, casual listening. The thing that frustrates me is when I see them in interviews and they're like they kind of throw back to that 70s garb. And the fake accents, which kills me because they're from like the Christmas town in Michigan. So why are they throwing in these fake accents? That's what gets me the most. Is like I think they're trying to force themselves to present this image of something they're not, and that kills me.
It's a show, man.
It has to be. I mean, that band came out of nowhere too. Like their first EP tops the Billboard. I mean, no. I mean, that's
like Led Zeppelin. Their first album topped the Billboard too.
Are they a label band?
Who?
Zeppelin. Well, I guess I think Greta Van Fleet's a label band, but
yeah, they were totally a label band.
Yeah,
they got signed to Atlantic like before they'd recorded a note.
Yeah,
or even played a gig.
Yeah, same thing with this band. I don't know what label they're signed to, but their first four songs they put out are in their national, international bestsellers. You know.
Yeah, man. It is really. Is it time for our recommendations?
I think so.
All right, you want to go first?
You go yours first. Okay, I gotta pull up my list here.
So I've been listening recently to a lot of Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. The record I've really been listening to more so than anything else is a self-compiled greatest hits record. Mm-hmm. Because not enough people know the early years of Fleetwood Mac, like the Peter Green blues era, and even some of the Bob Welch transitional period. Mm-hmm. But that is not readily available for people to listen to, so instead I'm going to transfer it over to their newest compilation, 50 Years Don't Stop.
Nice.
I would say try to find the physical deluxe edition if you can, or the digital version on iTunes. The version on Spotify is not the good one. it's got a unique track listing, which I think is still, like many Fleetwood Mac greatest hits records, predisposed to mainly being the post Buckingham Nicks years, like 75 onwards. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mean, that like if Genesis is an example of a band who by going pop diluted their sound, Fleetwood Mac is an example of a band going pop and expanding their sound. Mm-hmm. So like, I would say, I mean, obviously the best intro to Fleetwood Mac is Rumors. That's no question.
Oh yeah.
If you haven't heard Rumors, listen to Rumors. But if you really want a nice overview of their entire career and their highlights over 50 years, I would say try to listen to Fleetwood Mac, 50 Years Don't Stop. It's a 3-CD deluxe edition or digital download on iTunes. And it really does... You get to hear a band progress from being blues rock guitar gods on the same level as a Clapton or a Jeff Beck, into being like one of the biggest pop phenomenons of the 1970s mm-hmm. and 80s. It's quite a fascinating listen.
Oh yeah, I'll check it out.
What about you?
I got two. I'll do them real quick. One's old and one is new. The newer one, which I'll kick off with, is a band called Quiet Company, which I've been following for quite some time. I think they're out of Texas, but got a new EP out called On Corners and Shapes, and it's just like a little 5-track thing. And it's just super cool, like dynamic kind of. I like to think it was a combination between, like, it's got the, like, brand new vibes mixed with, like, Americana in a way. I don't know. It's a pretty unique sound. I dig it. That came out just a couple weeks ago. And then because I was feeling nostalgic the other day, I started listening to Mississippi Queen by Mountain. And then I got into that record, which is called Climbing, which I realized is almost 50 years ago. Next year will be 50 years old, that song, which just blows my mind. But that whole record's actually pretty rad. Yeah. The whole record is really, really awesome. Notably, Mississippi Queen, of course. Really, the first three songs are cool. Was a Theme for an Imaginary Western and Never in My Life are just super cool, cool songs. And yeah, I'd say check those out if you haven't. It's like, because Mississippi Queen to me is just like a pretty gnarly blues rock song, which for coming out in 1970 is pretty damn loud too.
Well, I mean, like, that was the thing, is that there was this brief period, like, 68 to 70 was, like, the real height of roots rock music,
yeah.
Mainly because of the band, but then you also had Creedence Clearwater Revival, you had the Guess Who, you had, I guess, in a sense, Zeppelin, because they were very steeped in blues.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just, like, Mountain was, like, one of those groups that was, like, part of that scene.
Yeah.
And a few of those got lost in the shuffle as time went on, but it's a pretty decent, like, group of records to look into.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, so that's what I got on my list.
Very nice.
Okay.
Well, I think we've expounded as much as we can.
I think so.
As we've mentioned before, there won't be an episode next week, but there will be 2 weeks from now where Aaron, myself, and my good friend Nick Prong will be discussing the Oscars and our reactions to who won and how the awards were. So be sure to tune into that.
Yep. And
you want to plug our social media?
Yeah. Actually, you can find in the show notes, which will be links to both of our main channels that we use. Me on Twitter and Instagram, and you being on Jacob, that is not you, the listener, but YouTube and Twitter. Find that in the show notes, and be sure to subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice, and to leave us a review, a rating, whatever you feel like leaving there. Let us know how we did. Let us get ranked up in the searches and stuff like that, and that is all I have got to say for this episode. How about you?
Always remember to keep prancing your pony.
Drink your Ovaltine. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye-bye.